Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
I don't mind bigger. I never really have enough pictures to fill it up. It has changed. You're completely right. Being an empty nester now, I scrapbook smaller. It's smaller, but not less. I still scrapbook the same amount. It's just smaller.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 213. In this episode, I'm interviewing Tina Kiner for the My Way series. My Way is all about celebrating the unique ways memory keepers get things done. We're excited to have Tina as the April featured artist at Simple Scrapper. Hey, Tina, welcome to Scrapbook Your Way.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I am looking forward to our conversation today, but can you kick things off by sharing a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm married. I have three daughters, recent empty nesters. So for around 2 years now, it's just been my husband and I and our dogs. I live in Southern California, which is pretty much heaven. Literally, I am in the center of heaven because 30 to 40 minutes in either direction, like 30 minutes to the north, I'm at a lake in the mountains with snow. 40 minutes to the east, I'm in Palm Springs. 35 minutes to the south, I'm at Disneyland. And 40 minutes to the west, I'm in LA. So I literally say I'm in just the middle of heaven.
I love it. I went to grad school at UC Riverside, so I got to like have slice of heaven plus being in the extra smoggy area.
Oh, years. Yeah. Those are the great days. Huh? Thank God we have the wind that blows that away every so often.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tina, what is exciting you right now? We're asking our guests this year to share both a scrapbooky thing and a non-scrapbooky thing.
Oh, what's exciting me right now? I'm actually excited to see more creators offering digital things where, you know, I could just download them and print it myself, because a lot of these creators are so talented and we probably wouldn't see them because they don't have the option to go print, you know, 100, you know, pads of paper or what have you themselves. But to be able to experience their art online and to be able to download it and to print it, when I find a new artist that has some sort of digital printable, I just get excited. So that's probably what I'm most excited about in like the creative world. It's not even a tool or anything, but I'm just so excited to see more artists creating because I just absolutely love it. Sometimes I feel like we have to use whatever scrapbook items are just out there because that's what's out there. That's what's in Michael's or in Hobby Lobby or what have you. But now this opens up a whole new world with just, you know, people putting their art online for us. So I'm probably most excited about that in the scrapbooking world.
I'm
on the other world just anyway.
Because, you know, I think we have so many, you know, scrapbooking is clearly not just a US centric thing. We have scrapbookers all over the world who sometimes have a harder time getting their hands on supplies. And so I think, you know, having these digital items just makes it a little bit easier for everyone to get their hands on the latest and greatest, really amazing designs.
Yes. And with you saying that too, I noticed that some of them will have, with you saying of people out of the country, some of them will have like an English version and then their language version, which is awesome because not everyone speaks English. I know we're fortunate, but I mean, you know, I think that is just, it's just amazing. So I literally get so excited whenever I see somebody offering like, oh, I opened up a digital store. Oh, I have a download. I'm like, let me go get it. Yeah. And they're like 99 cents. So you can't say no to 99 cents or what have you. It's just, it's impossible.
So what about your non-scrapbooking thing? What's going on in your life?
Non-scrapbooking. Actually, I'm excited now that I'm using air quotations, but COVID is kind of, you know, more under control that we can travel again because we're big travelers. So we've been, I took a little trip to Orlando last week. We're heading to DC next week. We're going to spend a few days in Palm Springs in a couple of weeks. So I'm excited that, we're able to travel again because that's a big part of our lives. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. We are kind of like more in the middle. We're not non-travelers, but we're not super avid travelers, but I'm just glad to be able to go somewhere and do something.
Yes, yes. Anywhere, something.
just to have the variety, to relax, and to just feel a little more normal again after not very normal years.
Yes. And I mean, we're still really, really careful. Like I still wear my mask on the plane. I think just because it's flu season and everything, you know, that's just a safe way to go. But, you know, I'm still very careful. I'm not very, you know, just out there, you know, being reckless, but I'm so excited that we get to travel again, or like you said, just to get out there. And like I said, and you know, cause you were in Riverside. So, I mean, we went to Joshua Tree last weekend and hiked, you know, I mean, little things like that, that we can drive to in California for me is just amazing. And my two daughters, cause I have two of them live up in San Francisco. So we're lucky. We're able to go and get away, go spend weekends up in the Bay too. So I count that as traveling as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What a delightful place to visit. So we also like to ask our guests about their memory keeping bucket list. So this is one story where you know you really want to tell it. It feels really important to you, but for some reason you haven't yet. So what's on your bucket list?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I am lucky. I'm very fortunate that my mom did a great job of documenting literally everything. She was one of those ones that went on to like ancestry.com and did all that. She did all the legwork for finding our lineage, our heritage. You know, she went back really far, even had the books bound for us. I mean, they're just amazing. And then she went a step further and did it with all the family recipes. And it's an amazing cookbook. I mean, it's really good. And so I'm lucky I have all of those stories from, you know, her family, from, you know, all of our celebrations, you know, cooking wise, all those recipes that mean so much. I think moving forward, I would kind of like just to tell, you know, my family story, my husband, myself, and my kids, and pass that down. Cause I know, my kids get a kick out of reading the cookbook stories and, you know, they use the recipe book. And as long as I could pass down something as great and meaningful as that, I think that would be my bucket list thing. I'm not even telling, it's on a whole different level. These books, I mean, they're literally bound and like a real book that you would buy at like Barnes and Noble. So they're insane. Here, my little scrapbook, and I'm like, oh, I put some stickers on this. And hers are literally like gorgeous. So I think one day maybe to not do the paper side of the scrapbooking, but to really sit down and use my creative, you know, my artistic ability and, you know, get into Photoshop and Canva and all that and really design a book that can be passed down and bound like that would be great. That would probably be my bucket list item. My story.
I love that line of thinking just because, you know, we are often so caught up in the things that we're having fun with, which we should be because, you know, yes. I think first and foremost, this is about the experience that we're giving ourselves in the moment. But then also thinking about, okay, here's what I've really appreciated having from my parents, grandparents, et cetera, mm-hmm. other family members. And then what does that tell me about maybe a project that I should work on for the future generations?
Yes, yes. And I love that that I do have fun with my creative side. Like all of my albums are very fun and colorful and creative. But then I also like the fact that, and I have all girls, so I could you know, being the more obnoxious in my creative, like colors and bars, the better. But if maybe I had, you know, one of them was maybe more into the neutral tones or something, I probably would, you know, like to tone it down maybe and just make something a little bit more simple where they don't have to like lift the lever, move the flower, or, you know, the sticker's coming off or something. So, and that would just probably be more timeless, because I look back at some of my scrapbooks I have now and I'm like, oh my goodness, that was that phase, or, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. yes, I did use this. So maybe something that's a little bit more just timeless and classic to pass down would probably be a goal of mine. It'll be hard, yeah, but it'll be a goal.
Sometimes we have to be practical. So.
Yes. And sometimes it's actually easier. You know, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I didn't have to do anything to this. I just, you know, plop it in a you know, template. Okay, this was easy.
So this episode is really all about you. You're one of our featured artists this year. And I'd like to start by giving our listeners a little teaser, because right now we are talking about organization at Simple Scrapper. So do you have one or two favorite organizing tips or solutions?
You know what? I recently discovered, probably, I want to say before Christmas or what have you, somebody posted a picture of their desk, and then I became obsessed with it and I needed it all. I had to have everything. And it was actually, what she was using was one of the Totally Tiffany Stadium organizers. So it's like a tiered wooden, holder, you know, and then it has little slots where you could change the size within the holder. If you had like stickers or something small or bigger, or stamps or what have you, you could actually change the size within the little slots, and which within each tier. And I became obsessed. I bought three. It sits on my desk now. Everything's in front of me organized. I change it out for whatever I'm working on one of the central ones. It has been a game changer for me, because everything else is usually in my office in one of the IKEA little drawers. But this mm-hmm. stadium organizer has it in front of me. It's easy to get. I'm not looking for it like, oh, I have to walk over there to the door and get it. It's just been, it's really helped me. So I'm going to have to say that Totally Tiffany Stadium Organizer, I've seen them. I think I got mine at Joann's, but I know, you know, she sells them on her site. I've seen them on Amazon. I've seen them at Michael's. So that's helped me. That's helped me a lot. I can't believe I've waited this long to discover it, but it's great.
Well, we will definitely link that up in the show notes. I have one, but it doesn't have any kind of customization to it. It's just like three levels, period. And so I'm very curious about this
version. I'm wondering if this is a new version, because it's the three levels. And then within the three levels, they give you these little like thinner chipboard or thinner wood type little dividers. And then there's little slots in them. So then I could make, within those three levels, I could make the section smaller or bigger. So I'm like, my God.
That sounds really fun. Because
I have one almost similar. It's just not tiered, from IKEA, and it's like a tin, like a metal, but you can't mm-hmm. customize it. And so everything kind of falls, or not, it falls. It just doesn't look as good. So with it standing up straight because of the little divider things, it's just pretty. We like pretty things, and it's pretty. All my things looking at me, all my stickers and ephemera and what have you looking at me, all perfect. It's just, I'm excited. I'm looking at it right now. It's just so good. So
Tina, can you now like take us back a little bit? How did you start scrapbooking, and how has your hobby changed in that time?
And I say this, and I don't know, but I think for me, probably like for a lot of other people, started with Creative Memories back in 94. I went to a Creative Memory party, and of course, it just changed everything. Because like I said, my mom had always kind of scrapbooked and documented, but to learn that there is a correct way of actually documenting your pictures that will make them and help them last longer, I think that was the game changer. So I started with Creative Memories, of course, 12 by 12, you know, cutting all the pictures out like a star or a circle or what have you. And then now it's completely changed. I mean, completely changed. I no longer do, you know, the big 12 by 12 layouts. I've gone smaller. I don't cut my photos anymore. I don't do that at all. So it's changed, and I'm sure it's changed because of the, you know, the trends, but I kind of been, I'm more confident now. I know what I like. I'm more confident in my designing. So I know what I'm good at. I know what I can get done. So, that's helped too, but I'm doing it correctly. I'm doing it with all the photo safe, you know, items. So that's kind of, it's just, it helps me. It's just, it feels good because I know I spend time on my things and money, and to know that it's going to last, years, it feels good.
I'm curious if becoming an empty nester made, like, created any new shifts for you, or are you still scrapbooking as much when your girls were at home?
100% I am, but I did change down to a smaller size scrapbook because it's not a lot of pictures that I have anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, like my husband and I, and usually it's just me, you know? So I don't have probably as many pictures, so I don't need one, the 12 by 12. I don't even need, like, you know, anything bigger. I don't mind bigger. I never really have enough pictures to fill it up. So it has changed. You're completely right. Being an empty nester now, I scrapbook smaller. It's smaller, but not less. I still scrapbook the same amount. It's just smaller.
Well, I think thinking about, okay, how many photos am I taking in this particular season of life? You know, what are the types of stories am I telling? Are we doing big milestones, everyday moments that can guide you towards, you know, shifts in your format for sure?
Yes. And if I do have a lot of photos, because I do have nieces, small nieces, I tend to just, I change the format. So I'll do like the photo strip one, or I'll just try to get more photos on that paper by shrinking them down. So I, you know, on a layout, I could have maybe five pictures, but I've just shrunken them down. I haven't placed 5 4x6 pictures on there. They're now like 2x3 or what have you. So, but yeah, I haven't flipped back to 12x12. It's something I don't think I will do. But I just haven't yet.
So we can't skip over that you are a Disney person. I don't know if you have like a preferred term for a avid Disney fan, but how did you memory keeping and Disney intersect for you?
You know, it's so funny because I think everyone's like, oh, you're a Disney adult. You're this. And I'm like, I just do Disney. You know, I don't know about the label. I know there's a million labels for people like me, but we've been going to Disney because we live so close since I was born, even before my parents went on dates. So it's always been a big part of our life. And we've just grown up with it. My kids have grown up with it. It's just a place of happiness for us. So my mom's always documented all of our Disney days, and I did the same. So, and it's just a fun, like, I mean, you can't just be angry. I mean, you're having a bad day, you're sad, what have you. You go to Disney, take some pictures, you come back, you relive that day all over again, or that vacation, or, you know, what have you, all over again when you're documenting that day. So right now I've been known to take all my little cousins and nieces for their first time at Disney. So that's like my thing. So I'll take them for their first, you know, day. It's not without a fight though. Their parents are usually like, I want to be the first one. And I'm like, it's kind of my thing. Just let me do it. So, I absolutely just love that. And being able to document all of the changes in Disney, because Disney changes so much. Looking back at the pictures from when I went, when I was little, to when I took my kids, when they were little, to now, things have completely changed or been erased or taken, you know, taken out. So I feel like I have my own little, you know, Disney yearbook almost with all the changes that sure. It's gone through completely.
I have to say, I have a preference for Disneyland because that's where I went growing up a few times because my aunt lived in Southern California. And so when I finally went to Walt Disney World, I was like, this isn't right. This is just different. I, you know, like it just feels like not quite the same. I
mean, yes. I'm like, it feels like an imposter.
Why is this weird wall here? And like, it's just, yeah. It is an imposter. It totally is.
I felt like that too. And I had to experience it for myself because I hear everyone like, Disney World's better. You have a small castle. You have small this. You have this. But then when I actually went, I'm like, oh, so this is your small world. Okay. You know, like, oh, so this is your teacups. Ours is prettier. You know, it's just different. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, it's very different. And it's almost like an imposter that was like, oh, this, you know, this should be done like this, or this, you know, at Disneyland is better, or what have you. But, you know, I have my love for Disney World. Mainly Epcot. We don't have an Epcot. I love Epcot. But yeah. Disneyland, you can't compare it. You just cannot compare the details. It's just on its own little, it's on its own level completely.
Totally agree. So you mentioned a lot about, you know, the scaling down of size. Can you talk a little bit more about the formats that you're using? Are we doing citrus twist albums, memory planners, all of it? You know, how are you creating these days?
I am a complete citrus twist album girl. I love that TN size. It will be hard for me to leave that size if ever they stop, you know, creating their albums or what have you. I think I'll always create in that size. It's just a fun, perfect size for me. I do like the 6x8 format too, but that citrus twist album size is just, I'm obsessed with that one. That's the only album I have, or I continue to buy to this day right now. So whenever they have like their imperfection sale or what have you, I don't even care what color it is. I'm there. I'm buying them all. And it's, for those of you that don't know, it's like an 8.25 by 4.25. So it's like a TN size. So I had been creating in TNs, but the fact that it didn't have a page protector kind of bothered me, because I like for people to look through my albums, and but I don't like them to touch everything, because then eventually, you know, that's fingerprints and that's, you know, what have you. So being able to create in that size and have a page protector was just heaven. Because when I'm guest speaking somewhere, or when I have a conference or something, I take my albums with me and I lay them out for people to see. So I want them to see, you know, what I'm creating and what I'm doing and get a feel for me. So to have them look at it now with the page protector, I'm like, oh, go to town. You know, you're not going to do anything to it. But before, when it was just a TN with no page protector, I was like, oh, you have to open that tab. Yeah. Like, oh, are your hands clean? You know, it was just horrible. I was like that person. But now, in a page protector, I'm a completely different, like, go to town. Yeah. Take it to your table. Go look at it. So I'm a total citrus twist girl. Yes. That life crafted album forever, forever.
I definitely have an appreciation for that, for the protection that a page protector offers. It's in the name. Yes. And you know, I can also have fun with something that's outside the page protector, but there is some hesitation there, because I do want people to look at my albums and I want them to still be in great shape in, you know, 10, yes, 20 years from now. So yes, it's, you know, it's something to think about, and think about what's important to you in this moment and how you're going to do things.
Yes, exactly. Anything that has a page protector, because I did try the Studio Calico. Oh my goodness. What's it called with all the little openings in it? Oh my gosh, I can't even. It's like the 3x4 cards, and you can like place them in there. I tried that one, and I did try that for a little while, and it was just big though. It was still a big. I mean, I'm creating on little templates, you know, with the 3x4, but I'm still putting it on like a big 9x12 or 12x12 album, and so I quickly, you know, that was came and gone, but only because it had a page protector.
Oh, so you're talking about Pocket Pages, Project Lifestyle.
Pocket Pages. Oh my goodness, okay. Jen. I could not think of it. Pocket Pages. Yes. I tried it because it had a page protector. I'm like, oh, I could do this. This is, you know, I could get into this. And then I'm like, I think I did a year. And I was like, yeah, that was fun. That was fun. That's not for me.
Well, I think that's important to experiment, try something new, and, you know, be okay with the direction that it takes you.
I did like the 3x4 cards that came of it though, because I was in the Studio Calico. I think I did the monthly like kit, mm-hmm, for that. And so I have a ton of the 3x4 cards, and I just use them on my my pages now. I'll just cut it down, or I'll use it intact, or I'll make it into a pocket. I use them to make cards with, you know, birthday cards, what have you. So I do love all the items that you use for the pocket pages. It just wasn't for me after a while.
Now, we know you love Studio Calico products, but I'm guessing you're not getting a Project Life kit or documenter kit anymore. Can you talk more about the products that you're completely obsessed with right now?
For years, and I haven't steered away from Kelly Perky. I think she changed it to Paper Person now. I will buy anything she puts out there. Her quality of her paper, the design, her stickers, they're just, they completely speak to me. Her alpha stickers. I was in her monthly kit club for years, literally years. And then when she announced she was stopping, and then almost like, thank God for COVID, because she's like, oh, I guess I'm not stopping. I can't travel anymore. I guess I'll continue. And then she turned it into a paper person. And I was like, oh my God, thank you, COVID. Because I don't know what I would have done if she would have stopped creating. I really love her style. It's just great. So Paper Person, and I love Everyday Explorers. I love their stamps, their style, their mini books. Those two are probably two of my favorite and what I have. I own the most of, besides Studio Calico.
So definitely kind of saturated, high contrast, lots of white, lots of black, brighter colors.
Yes, completely. But then when I create for Disney, I'm like complete opposite. I'm like color, color, color. This page threw up more color and color, you know. So
yeah.
I'm just all over the place. You know, I think Disney just puts you in a different mood, and I feel like I need to sometimes just parallel that happy feeling of that you feel when you get there with color then afterward in my album. But sometimes they'll be a little bit more muted, and that's when you know that was just for me. That was a passion project. I did it just literally because I wanted to use my Kelly Perky stuff or what have you. But usually for Disneyland, I create for my Disney albums very bright, very lively.
Now, you're also creating some of your own products now. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that only started because I couldn't find what I wanted to use Disney-wise, you know, like my kind of feel and look that I wanted. Everything was kind of very like cartoonish, or everything was either black, yellow, you know, red. Just things that I probably would never use. If I'm in Adventureland, I don't need, you know, Mickey Mouse, you know, to be on a leaf or something. I just need colors that would kind of accommodate what my picture, maybe of the Jungle Cruise, you know. So I tried to create things that are Disney inspired for the lands that I'm in, not necessarily, you know, just full blown, like just, you know, Mickey Mouse. But, you know, if I'm in Adventureland and I'm on the Jungle Cruise and I took a bunch of pictures, like, what am I going to use? I don't have to get like some jungle kit just to use it. I kind of want to use those colors or what have you. So I started to make some things that others might be interested in using in their Disney albums as well, that they were having a hard time finding.
Oh, sounds fun. We'll definitely include a link to that in the show notes. So, Tina, what is something you'd say you use or do on most of your pages?
100% on every page, I am going to use the date stamp, only because I don't create in chronological order. I create just whatever is exciting me right now, or what, you know, what have you. So I tend to always date stamp it somewhere on there. Sometimes it might not be as like bold, but it's on there. Because I need to go back then and be like, oh, I have to put it in at least date order. So my date, and it's not a fancy date stamp. It's one that I got like at Staples or something. It's just literally those old fashioned library ones. It has, you know, the year, the month, the day, and that's it. But I religiously use that on every layout.
I love it. I think, I don't know, there's just some sort of special feel to that. I love using my date stamp, and I think I have like all the years. I was born in 1980, and so I think I have a date stamp that at least goes back that far, because I've been collecting them.
You're good. You are good. I've kept the ones like from the 90s that, you know, that have aged out and stuff, because I'm like, oh, if I ever go back, or, you know, I could, you know, do something. So I have all my aged out ones too, but that's so good. You beat me. I gotta get on your level. I gotta get some older ones.
Time to check on eBay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a dangerous place for me. I forgot about eBay, honestly. And then I needed something and someone's like, check eBay. And I'm like, oh, it's been nonstop. Like literally, I'm like, oh my God, they have this, they have that, they have this, and it's free shipping. eBay's dangerous for me nowadays.
Uh-oh. Okay. I didn't mention it. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of, I don't know, the meta context of your scrapbooking. When do you typically find the time and energy?
So my office and inside my whole house, I need natural light. I need a lot of light. So one of the reasons why we picked this house was because the way the light, or this house, I'm talking to you like you're in my house with me. Why we picked our house was because when they were building it, we had choices. It was because the light shined in the windows first thing in the morning, and it was just perfect. And I needed that. So we don't have any neighbors behind us. So we don't have any window coverings on all of the windows that face the back of the house. In my office, I just have some for the side, just for decoration, but I never close my curtains. It light. So any time of the day where there's that natural light, and I have a standing desk. So that's pushed up against, the window, anytime I'm creating, as long as there's that bright light, I am there. If it's like nighttime and I have to use like my lamps, even though they're like really good lights, I'm just completely uninspired to work. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like I haven't figured it out, but it's light. So mainly anytime during the day, before sunset, I would say, that's when I find my time. Because I'm completely uninspired. That's why I don't do well at crops. All my friends go to crops and they ask me to go crop with them for hours on end. And I'm like, I would be talking to you guys or asleep. I'm a horrible cropper because once that sun goes down, I'm like, nope, it can't work. I don't have my energy light. I can't do it. So anytime during the day is my time to create.
You know, I think that your story is going to be helpful for many of our listeners who maybe have a similar thing. And maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's the sun needed to go down for them to create, but to just observe, you know, your behaviors and then try to better align your habits with that.
Yeah. I wish I could change. I mean, we even tried getting like the light bulbs that are like the daytime ones and stuff. It's just not the same. Oh. I mean, I'm not to say that I haven't like finished, you know, a quick project, you know, at night or something, but it's just, I really don't. I really, really don't. And I know this about myself. So when I see like it getting later and later, I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It's like I'm Dracula. Like, oh my God, the sun's going down. I have to, you know, I have to finish this. It's horrible.
So along with time and energy, we also need to talk about motivation. Does your motivation kind of stay consistent throughout, you know, the course of a month or a year, or does it ebb and flow for you? And how do you try to like keep it going if it does?
No, I'm completely up and down. I have ADHD, so I can be completely into, you know, a project that I just printed a million pictures for and then do one thing and be like, yeah, that was fun. You know, I'm going to put that aside and then go on to something else. So it's really, really hard for me to stay motivated. The one good thing that helps me is that I'm a quick creator. So I finish things quickly. So my pages take me, and I try to do like YouTube videos of, you know, me creating, and I'm like, okay, no one's going to watch. This was like literally 6 minutes. Like that was so boring. You know, usually they're like, oh, what do I do? What do I decide? How do I, you know, and mine are just so quick. One, because they're a smaller scale, and two, it just comes to me. And then I just, you know, plug it out. And so I know I have to finish them too. Because if not, then they'll just go into the mysterious beyond somewhere and maybe next year I might finish it. So, that's what, you know, helps me stay a little bit motivated is I just have to finish it. So I would say the pictures, if they're exciting or if it sparks something like, oh yeah, that was fun, I should finish this, you know, then I'll quickly do it. That's what makes me stay motivated. I hope other people, that's like them too, because I see some of my friends and they literally will create in chronological order. And they're like, I'm up to date. I'm like, I will never know that feeling. I will never know what it is like to be up to date and then to be finished with everything, you know, prior. I just, those people are literally Superman to me, because I would never be able to do that. I'm so all over the place. Like, I was just creating Halloween the other day. Like, I was literally doing a Halloween page. So I'm just everywhere.
Well, and I think that's okay. I think there's some people, like, we all have different priorities. And for some, like, that is the priority. And for others, there are competing priorities that maybe are a little bit stronger.
True. Mm-hmm.
So we've already talked a little bit about Pocket Pages not being for you, but is there anything else, a supply, a technique, you know, something that you've tried and you're like, oh, nope, not for me at all?
Other than the 12 by 12 format style, I'm game to try everything. You know, I've tried watercolors and the deco, you know, I've tried a lot. I've tried a lot. Some of it is time consuming and the whole waiting game. Like, if something has to dry or something has to, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know about that one. But I would say I'm game for anything, to try any technique or tool. It's just probably that bigger, larger scale for me. That's something that's not for me right now. Again, you know, and I've tried it. So it's not like I haven't tried it and it hasn't worked, because it worked for years. But right now, it's just not for me.
So where, if you had to like step back and think about where you're going in the next 10 years, where would you like your scrapbooking to be in that time?
Consistent. I would love it to be consistent, up to date. Probably that's about it. I'm happy with my designing. That's kind of like my style, my little signature style. So I'm okay with that. I just would like it to be consistent, like maybe a whole year done, because I'll do like 9-10 months and then be like, oh yeah, I don't need to do those last 2 months, and I do need to do them. But, you know, I think it's my ADHD saying, no, you really don't. So just being consistent and being, maybe, I don't want to say caught up, because I don't want to ever feel overwhelmed. Like, I need to do that, but maybe just consistent where I finish the year. Maybe not in order, but, you know, I just eventually finish, you know, the year. That would be great.
That sounds like a good goal. So Tina, our last question today is, what has being a scrapbooker taught you?
Probably that a bad picture is better than no picture. Mm-hmm. I went back to school for photography later in life, just because I became so obsessed with my pictures. I think they just weren't, I was seeing all these pictures and, like, you know, creating keepsake, what have you, and their photos on their layouts were just insane on another level. And I just wasn't able to capture that. So I went back to school to learn how to work my camera and to be a better photographer. And it became an obsession for a while. Like, I was just determined to get the best picture. But then, you know, I didn't always have my professional camera with the right lens and, you know, blah, blah. And this is before digital. So I had to learn on like a manual. I had to do aperture, you know, it was a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And for me as an adult to go back to school, and there was math involved. I didn't know there was math involved. So it was hard for me. But I, like I said, I didn't always have my professional, you know, camera with me and the right lens. It wasn't always, you know, the perfect thing. And I learned that when I just took my little cheapy camera, that I had a picture still. So yeah, that was better than not having a picture at all. So I definitely, it taught me a good lesson that a bad picture is better than no pictures at all. You know, I think that is probably, taught me my best lesson is just take the picture, whether it's on your phone, on your cheapy camera, on anything, just take it. And at least you have something now.
Yes, 100%. So Tina, can you share where we can find you online? Anything you might have new or coming up this year?
Oh, sure. On Instagram, I am Social Paper Plan, and on YouTube, same. Even on TikTok, I'm trying to do that. I'm learning it still. You can find me there. You can also find me at my website, www.socialpaperplan.com. And I do, for this year, we are starting to make paper packs. So I'm a little excited about that. I, like I said, I found a void in paper that I needed to use for my trips to Disney and what have you. So we're making them. So our first one will come out in March sometime. Oh, so I'm excited about that.
That's so fun. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Thank you so much for spending time with me.
Oh, thank you, Jen, so much for having me.
And to all of our listeners, please remember that you have permission to scrapbook your way.